Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to Mr. Tony Carosella, a singer, songwriter, and entertainer, and a photographer of great renown. And we're going to be talking to you about what we've done over the last few years in the do-it-yourself music industry. And I'm going to let Tony pick it up from right here.
Yeah, and basically we've gone from going 0 miles per hour. We started basically from nothing, or at least I certainly did. John's got the music background. John can play bass, guitar, keyboard, percussion, all kinds of stuff. Anyway.
More concussion than percussion.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, so I was basically coming at it as I'd friend of John's, and John was making some music, needed somebody to maybe sing on a couple songs, so I thought I would stretch my vocal cords a little bit, because I had a little bit of choir practice kind of stuff. And
karaoke as well.
And karaoke. And
the fact that he's Italian automatically gives him a leg up on having a great voice.
Well,
he can rock and croon.
Anyway, what we ended up with was just some pretty much fun stuff that enabled us to go in musical directions that I would never have thought possible.
Neither one of us.
And so, I think to start out, John, why don't you, I guess maybe some of this about what this podcast will be about too is that how maybe you as a musician or somebody starting out or wanting to get started in doing something like this can learn a little something from some of the steps that we learned across the way. And so John, maybe if you could tell us a story about maybe writing one of the songs that you did on that first musical album that we did recorded in the studio. I know you had a couple in there. But so pick out one of your favorite ones.
Well, I think I'm going to meander a little bit here, Tony.
Okay.
When you mentioned the word studio, before that, number of years ago, I got a hold of Cubase, L-E.
Oh,
and actually
okay.
Thought I would be able to record my own Sgt. Pepper's album. It doesn't work like that, but we'll talk about the necessity of going to a studio if you choose to do that, and the benefits therein and thereof. But when I decided to record, I decided, well, I got nothing to lose. I might want to write a couple of songs too. So we did that, or I did that, and recorded them, and released my own thing on iTunes, and sold almost 4. You know, some of my cousins don't have iTunes. In any event, by the time Tony got involved with the music, we ended up with a strange career launch, to say the least. Before we were in the studio, I believe,
yeah.
No?
Oh,
at a time.
That's right.
We had recorded a few things at Fat Buddha Studio. With Nate Hershey, driving the console, and more on Nate later on. We recorded a couple of things, and then we decided to open. Now, our opening was not in St. Louis. Oddly enough, Tony, Claire Bramlett, who happens to be my wife, and I actually opened at the bitter end in New York City. We're still not entirely sure how that happened, but it happened.
Well, you made it happen.
Well, they were very nice. They must have thought we were someone else. Then we continued writing, and Tony walked in one day with a song idea. You'll hear this song possibly during this podcast. It's called Virtual Gaze. Tony had some great lyrics and a very nice melody line. And we ran it down in the studio. Tony ran down the song Virtual Gaze for us in the studio. And we just kind of kicked it around and played it. And I think we recorded the second or third go-around. It featured Eric Oldenburg on guitar, me on guitar, Nate Hershey on a synth bass, don't tell anybody, and I think we put some claves on there.
Yeah.
And that was about it. And as soon as we heard it, I told everybody that's a hit record. Turns out I was pretty much right. And that was Tony's introduction into the world of songwriting.
3, 4. My phone says it's cold out. My car says I'm too far away. My heart feels so lonely. My status needs you for today. Wirelessly, tirelessly, we poke each other's page. Tenderly, friendly, loving your virtual gaze. I'm sending a JPEG. P.S. I'm thinking of you. It's the one from the party, the one where you look kind of blue. Wirelessly, tirelessly, we poke each other's page. Tenderly, friendly, loving your virtual gaze. You text me, you're hoping I fade all your troubles away. And then there's your voicemail. Want me to come out and play. Wirelessly, tirelessly, we poke each other's page. Tenderly, friendly, loving your virtual gaze. Now that we're close now, I don't need a glowing device. Fingers are busy exploring your face, so, so nice. Wirelessly, tirelessly, we poke each other's page. Tenderly, friendly, loving your virtual gaze.
Since then, he's kept the theme going a little bit. His leitmotif is communication.
Well, it's like social media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the style, we've got some ZZ Top thing that he did. It's called 5 Second Download of Love. We've got another song called
Compass of My Heart.
Compass of My Heart, which is a country song. And depending on if we remember it or not, it might even be a waltz.
Yeah.
Could be. So we've had a lot of fun doing this. And Tony will tell you how we happened to get our release onto radio station KDHX in St. Louis. We were just looking for a way to find out, now how can we get some radio play? Yeah,
so essentially John is the eternal optimist. And John said, hey, I'm going to run down to KDHX today. Can you whip up a CD of, you know, some of the songs that we've got that we recorded in the studio? So I took the MP3s that we had gotten and, that the engineer had sent us. And so I put them on a CD and we took it down to the KDHX. And John, we were sitting there. They have a bar at KDHX.
Breakfast bar.
Yeah, breakfast. We were sitting at the bar, and I thought, you know, how is this possible that we're going to get some, you know, people interested in what we're doing? And John had made a couple calls and talked to a few people, and while we were sitting there, Nick Aquisto from
Program
Manager, yeah, happened to be walking by. John introduced himself and told him our story, handed him the CD, and I thought, oh, okay, well, you know, it'll be he'll be throwing that into his trash can later or whatever. You never know, you know. Because, but the interesting thing was, he listened to it and he liked a few of the cuts. And it turns out that what were the stats that by the end of the year?
We were on the most played local list. I think number 34, which impresses us because we didn't even know if we'd have anything to play or not.
Right.
They were nice enough to book us into the stage twice, and that certainly helped our musical career too. It's odd because we're not really pursuing a huge musical career. We're finding out what we can do and trying to accomplish things step by step. Oddly enough, I'm a very old man, and I'm 68 years old, and it's unlikely that that I'd be able to even hear my own bass anymore. But anyway, the thing about this is we set out these small steps. We set out to do, to accomplish certain tasks. They were kind of pie in the sky, but we were just having fun doing them, and we were able to do a few things. And upcoming podcasts, we're going to talk to you about what we did, how we did it, and how we got lucky.
Yes. Yeah, luck certainly has something to do with it. But putting yourself in the right spot at the right time can certainly help, because I had no confidence. But it turns out that John was the one that basically shined the light in the direction of how we can make progress and how we got a chance to play on stage. So, but anyway, so since then we've been on stage a few different times, and we sure have had a lot of fun. And it takes a little bit in getting used to. Like, for instance, John's been on the stage a bunch, but for me it was sweat and bullets when we first got out there, because I was not somebody that was used to being up on stage in a band. So doing this for me was, I kind of did a thing where John was like, well, aren't you nervous? And I would be, for me, my background's photography and video, and I would say, meh. Not really nervous, because this is not my thing that I normally do. But at the same time, when you're holding a microphone and singing to people, with people right in front of you, it takes on a different dimension. But it's kind of interesting to see what happens when you get more used to it. So yeah, get past the butterflies.
Good topic for future conversation. I'm a big believer in stage fright. For me, it gets worse. And what a marvelous tool it is. In fact, we're going to take the word marvelous out of that, Tony. What a great tool. I wouldn't want to play without it. In the studio, there's such thing as red light syndrome. That also gets worse. You get more nervous as you go on and get more used to it. The whole thing becomes more daunting, but is it fun? Tony put the whole thing together mentally for us when he said we're out to have fun with it. If we take ourselves seriously, it won't work. And he's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. So we've had some aspects that were more work than they probably should have been. But I'll just chalk that up to my own inexperience at, putting together our phenomenal recording career, Tony.
Well, what we wanted to do with this is to just essentially, I guess, recount what we've done, for ourselves, and basically just to let anybody out there that's wanting to learn a little bit more about their own music and what to do with it, that that you could be young, old, whatever it is that you are. That really, if you love music and you want to be creative with it and you want to do something with it other than just being in your garage or in your room playing things or making things that no one else hears, that's up to you. But if you want to take it a little bit further, here's maybe some tricks and things that you might can pick up from this. And that's basically all we wanted to do with this. And then have some fun doing it too. So
absolutely,
because we kind of see it as kind of our experiment.
And it is that it is an experiment.
Yeah. So I guess what I want to do is ask John, why don't you tell us just a little story about one of the songs that you wrote for the first album.
I did a song called "You're Gonna Cry," and I got lucky writing some lyrics, and I threw together a little chord progression, very standard key of C, 1-4-5, an occasional minor 6. And what we did with that was I sang it in the booth, much to the chagrin of everybody, because my voice, this is how good my voice is. I'm singing right now. Anyway, in an effort to cover up my voice,
oh my gosh,
we started overlaying tracks. And that's when I really learned how to overlay tracks and get it just right.
And you did that in Cubase? Is that what you were working with?
No, that was in Fat Buddha.
At Fat Buddha, okay.
Yeah, that was at Fat Buddha. And at that point, I figured out you can make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. The sow's ear being my lack of vocal ability, and my silk purse being the end result. It's a, kind of a bouncy little song, and it's got a go-go girl in it.
For some dancer with a phony name. It's your turn this time, baby, and I know you're sad and blue, but you're gonna cry sad tears from your eyes. You're gonna cry, 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 cry for some dancer with a phony name. It's your turn this time, baby, and I know you're sad and blue, but you're gonna cry, you're gonna cry, you're gonna cry, 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 cry too. You're gonna cry, you're gonna cry, you're gonna cry, 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 cry too. Hey, you there, honey, it sure is funny how things turn.
Okay, well, I'll talk about Virtual Gaze. So Virtual Gaze was my first song, and so this was really unusual for me. So I had never written a song in my life, and I certainly listened to a lot of music, and so John was asking me for this new album that he was working on, did he think I could write a song? And I just thought, oh my gosh, I have no idea how to do that. But I thought, well, what the heck, you know, for me, for photography and video, I thought, oh, I can stretch myself a little bit, I'll see what I can do. So I had the first line of the song, which is called, which basically is, my phone says it's cold out, and basically write a little love song about all the different ways that people use technology to do sweet little things, you know, whether you're sending text messages or whatever. So I told John, oh yeah, I'm working on that song. And for about 2 weeks, all I had was, my phone says it's cold out. And John probably doesn't notice. And so we're down at Fat Buddha Studio, and he goes, okay, we're going to record today. And I said, okay, I'll bring something in. So I got in the car, and I wrote out the rest of the song, basically dictating it into my iPhone and having it convert it to text.
Hi, guys. Thank you.
And so somehow the creative process worked where I was able to come up with the words and kind of sing them to myself. And then when I got to the studio, John was okay, did you make a song? Did you write a song? I said, yeah. He goes, well, what key is it in? And so that asking me something like that was like, I have no clue. So fortunately, John was there to provide that help for that, because he said, well, so can you sing it? So the very first time I sang it was the very first time that it basically, the entire song had essentially come out of my mouth, you know. So I was just humming it in the car all the way in. It took about an hour to drive into downtown St. Louis. And within that hour, I had written this song, and so I consider myself pretty lucky for writing a song that's really gotten some good critiques from different people. But anyway, the songwriting process, I'm sure we'll talk to plenty of other people in future podcasts about the songwriting process. And you know, basically it how much of an adventure it can be. And how much of, you know, can be also a big black hole. There have been a couple times since then where John's going, okay, so now you're going to write your next song. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm working on my next song.
You can't rush it and you can't force it.
Yeah. But you can put yourself in a creative position to where your head's in the right space.
Mm-hmm.
And you have enough confidence or maybe enough pressure on you to be able to come up with the right words. But anyway, we'll talk about songwriting in a future podcast. But for our next podcast, we're going to have Tazu Marshall, one of our engineers, people John hired to mix several of our songs over the last couple of years. And he's quite a musician and has quite a recording career of his own too. So we've asked him to be able to provide some tips to maybe you all, so that you might have some ideas to what you should do if you ever want to record in a studio. And then and what else, John?
Well, I would also say that we'll be talking too about the sheer joy of doing this.
Yeah.
And that certainly lends itself to performance too. Tony and I are on all the tracks, but also we have Claire Bramlett and Barb Osberg joined up with us for some projects, and this has given us a latitude to go out and create our own wall of sound and just have a ball with some great songs that takes a little concentration to do, but where there's a will, there's a way. And usually if you decide to do something, there's a way to do it.
So I'd also like to say that we're going to post the links to some of the songs, Virtual Gaze and You're Gonna Cry Now, and maybe some other links to different apps and things that we like, you know, that might help you out with your music and audio. Well, thank you for joining us on our first podcast.